Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God, our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Christmas Day. We celebrate it every year. And every year we talk about the same story, the birth of Christ. Nothing about the story is ever different. An angel appears to a teenage girl in a rural town in Judea and tells her that she will become pregnant and give birth to a son. She tells the angel, "I am the servant of the Lord," becomes pregnant by the Holy Spirit, and gives birth to her son, calling his name Jesus. She wraps him in strips of cloth and places him in a manger. Angels announce his birth to shepherds, and a star leads wise men from the east to the place of his birth. We hear the same story every year. And yet, every year we come at it with fresh, new eyes. This year, looking at this morning's gospel reading from John chapter 1, as well as our hymn of the day, "Let Our Gladness Have No End," we take more of a top-down approach to Christ's birth, looking at it from God's perspective, that to earth did Christ descend. That is a shocking idea. After all, how many of the religions of the world have a God who is far off from them? Answer, all of them. The whole purpose of sacrifice and worship in pagan religions, in all those other religions, was to draw the gods down to the worshipers. Even in other religions which did not practice those sacrifices, the works, the good works, were all intended to draw God closer to. The gods are far away, and they need to be brought close. The worshipers would make offerings to their gods to secure their favor. Otherwise, the gods really couldn't care less about human affairs. When Elijah faced off against the prophets of Baal in 2 Kings, he mocked them for this very reason. Baal is far off, and so they need to shout and rave and cut themselves to get his attention. Hey guys, maybe Baal's in the bathroom. I don't think he can hear you in there. Only the Christian God, only the God of the Old Testament and New Testament takes an active role in his creation. Our God created this world to be perfect. By his word, he created the world. With his own hand, he formed man, molded him from the dirt to be made in his own image. When the world was corrupted by our first parents' fall into sin, our God promised to do something about it. That something wasn't just, well, we'll start over. Instead, it was Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, where he promised to fix it. He told the serpent, "I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." This promise was the first gospel, the first promise that God would descend, come down to earth, and do something about sin. Do something about his fallen creation. When God made that promise to Adam and Eve, he knew exactly how he was going to keep it. And he promised to stay close to his creation to make it happen. You see, all through history, all through the Old Testament, God made his plan known to his people. He promised to Abraham that the Messiah would be one of his descendants. He promised to David that he would establish David's house forever, that the Messiah would rule. The Messiah would be his descendant to sit on his throne over not just Israel, not just the promised land, but over the whole world, the whole creation. David's descendant, the Messiah, would rule. The Messiah would rule over everything, and furthermore, he promised to King Ahab that he would send Emmanuel. As we heard in the children's program last night, he would send Emmanuel, which means God with us. That is not a God who is far off. That is a God who is near. That is a God who is close by. That is a God who has a plan. God knows what needed to be done, and God promised to do what needed to be done. Just as God had prophesied, he was going to do what he needed to do to rescue us from our captivity to sin. And what was that? He sent his son to be born as a human being. This is what makes Christmas so special. John 1:14, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Think about it. The Word became flesh. God became human. The creator of the universe, who could have imagined that he could fit inside a little feeding trough? The creator of the universe, creating some unpleasant things for his mother and father to clean up. The creator of the universe, nursing like a normal baby. And that is not the end of what it means that God became human, that the Word became flesh. Look at how much our God loved us. Look at how much of a human he became for us. He became human by the humble means of natural birth for us. That baby grew up to become a teacher and a miracle worker for us. That baby finally died on a cross, a humble death, and a death which he suffered for us. The Word became flesh. That is not figurative language. This is not metaphor. No, this is the truth. The Word became flesh. The Almighty God, the creator of the universe, took an active role in what he had created, contrary to all the other gods of all the other religions of the world. Though he is God, Christ Jesus humbled himself by being born into his creation. Of all the great gifts that we have been given, this is by far the greatest and costliest one. Because on this day, God gave us Christ, his Son, to save us. Alleluia. And now the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, will keep and guard your hearts through faith in Christ Jesus our Lord, unto life everlasting. Amen.